Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I take another page out of my notebook today, and the focus is on spring practice and the idea of making it about details and development. As we head into spring practice, now's the time to set a focus that's going to carry into a strong summer in our preparations for camp and eventually leading up to the 2019 season. For many areas in the country, a spring game against an opponent is not part of the equation. This is a time that will end in an inter-squad game, or for some, no game or scrimmage at all. Having coached at the Division III level, that was very true. We couldn't even put the pads on. However, it was still a great time to make progress and set up positive habits in the approach to how we practice. Even teams that are allowed to play an opponent have several weeks until that happens, so the week-to-week crunch and grind of the season is not quite the same as it is in the fall. Without that opponent looming at the end of the week, the enemy is complacency. Even with the limitations that we had at the D3 level, we had to find ways to maximize our time on the field and coach with great attention to detail. And the spring should be something that sets specific objectives by position and uses the performance to set both the depth chart coming into camp as well as deciding what's going to be in that installation plan. So when we would set up our practices and drills, we wanted to be very detailed and at times competitive. I think it's important to be competitive and find ways to compete. That's important to what we do on the football field. We would grade our practices with great precision. Learning is the key that drives all of this. We want our players to make a jump in the understanding of our offense and defense and special teams and how they can succeed in it. Whether that's in the meeting room or on the field, our players understand that attention to detail is expected. Something I'd tell freshmen all the time was that the key for them was really the learning. The impact on them is much greater when the pace slows down a bit and when they receive more reps than they did in camp in the fall when they came into our program. When there was that sense of urgency to make the most of those 25 opportunities before our first varsity game. The growth we would see in our freshmen at that time was huge. We had a number of months to develop them in the off-season program, to get them on the same page in our culture. And now it's the second time through for them learning our system, and that helps them make a big jump. Our approach to coaching in the spring really helps us develop our depth, and inevitably there will be a player or two coming into spring low on the depth chart who's going to work his way up to being a starter. So here's some key ideas we would use to accomplish our goals of really getting that detail and development out of our spring ball. So the first is equal reps for every player on the depth chart. Many programs err in viewing spring practice as an opportunity to make starters and key backups better, but forget about the down-the-line players who are viewed as quote-unquote program kids, willing to be a part of the team and play a small role. Development becomes before winning. That's something we always have to remember as coaches. And I go all the way back over a decade now to the 2004 season, where in a late stretch of the season, we needed some of those guys who we kind of had identified as program players to step up and play key roles when we were faced with injuries. Going into that season, I remember telling seniors that they were all going to play a role that might be smaller at the beginning, but at some point they would have the opportunity to step up and do some big things. And those words came true, and that constant reinforcement and involvement in practice throughout the season allowed them to be prepared. And spring is the time to develop and prepare all players for a bigger role when that opportunity comes. Another thing we want to do is focus all players on taking their mental reps. I know that's a tough one. What is a mental rep? I'm going to go back to a podcast we did with Sam Parker. There's also a blog out there. We'll link both of those in our show notes. But mental reps are an important part of this. Each team is given the exact same number of reps with the exact same script. So whether they're first team, second team, third team, they're all working that. The third team always goes last, but those are the players who are truly taking their mental reps to avoid making a mistake and are able to execute better at times if they're paying attention. So for them, it really becomes about seeing those two groups before them go and execute that and pay attention to what we're calling. We're always sure that the guys who are standing there waiting their turn know exactly what play is being run and they're focusing on what they're doing. We also allow them to be with their position coaches. So our position coaches have a designated spot. They usually stand on the field. And in the spring, we allow our position coaches to bring those guys over. We're not worried about the tempo and procedures as much as we would be during the season. We're worried about taking those mental reps. I think video is a huge part of this. You want to video all your drills, your individual drills, your team drills, etc. I think it serves several purposes. First, it adds to your teaching library and provides you with video that you can use later to teach your players the setup of the drill. I'm really big on, you know, the flip classroom, flip learning, where you're able to show players video of how things are going to happen before they actually go out and do it. We always install a drill in the classroom, so having a diagram and then the video of the drills provides players with a concrete example of exactly what is needed. The second purpose is obviously the teaching of technique. Every coach should use these drills to develop their own teaching video. And with today's technology, it's easy to make this accessible to players for study over the summer. Everything you want to see on the field should be made available for your players to study. Now, that doesn't go without some planning. You are going to have some of those kids who help out your program do some of the videotaping. You're going to have a schedule and script for them that they know exactly where to be and what they're filming. But I think if you're organized, you can accomplish a lot in the spring in being able to build your library, your teaching library. The next part really focuses on drills. Drills should be set up for everyone to have a sense of purpose and maximize the number of reps in a given period. To illustrate this point, we have a drill that we set up that involves many players. It evolved from what really used to be what a lot of people call routes on air to what we began calling route timing. And it repurposed the drill into something that was much more efficient in teaching players exactly what they need to do on a given route. It better calibrated things for having to account for defenders, releasing defenders. And we would still set it up in the typical routes on air progression, which would include our five quarterbacks. Certainly, if you had less, you could do a half line with this. But in spring, we would adjust that if we needed to. Maybe some of those guys graduated, but we would always be working, you know, every part of that throw. So he would take his eyes and feet through the progression. So if he knew he was going to the second route, he would have to visually imagine that route is taken up. What takes him off of that? Maybe it's a collision. Maybe it's a guy over the top of it, but he's progressing to the next route. And so we want to get as many routes as we can, get people involved, and it really would require some precision in how we were going to run that drill. So I'll include a flow chart of what that looks like for just our 2x2 vertical in show notes so you could get a visual there. And then we would use that flow chart throughout the season for all kinds of different plays that we were working on. So receivers acting as defenders are taught to give a certain key, so the offensive player reacts accordingly in performing his route. And the quarterbacks would rotate through each station, getting at least two repetitions to each different receiver. And we'd have coaches who would serve as giving direction to the players if there were any decisions to be made. So maybe it was that safety, and we tell them, okay, this time I want you to buzz down versus we want you to roll the field, middle of the field this time. And so each of those lines kind of worked independently. We weren't necessarily looking all at the big picture because quarterbacks essentially had to imagine those things. But for our receivers, they were seeing exactly what would happen on the defense. And again, I'll include that just as an example. But the expectation for all of that is that our drills are really going to have a lot of that purpose. We're going to have a flow to them. We're going to be very efficient in how we run those drills and the looks that we're going to get out of those. The next thing I mentioned before is finding a way to make the drills competitive. We do this when we're working on our tempo and procedure plays. As an example, we run those plays on air with a focus on our offensive procedures, which is a very important part of our attack. And we'll be scripting those. The best thing we would do, we'd script five plays. Again, the first team, second team, and third team were doing the exact same script. that means the third team, who are maybe more of those inexperienced guys, are seeing what's happening ahead of them, and they have a chance to make sure they fix or don't make some of the mistakes that happened earlier. So the first team starts the drill. Second team players serve as the signal callers, third team players, etc. They're getting their mental reps. As soon as the ball is snapped on that first play, the clock starts, and they're running plays with our game procedures and working on getting to the ball and getting aligned and running the play perfectly and with as fast of a tempo as possible. We have a coach who serves as the official, blowing the whistle and spotting the ball. We make sure that's consistent for each team so there's no differences in how they're moving across the field. And then any error in procedure and assignments, we would just note and take 10 seconds added to that time. So if the team does it wrong, we're going to add time to their play, and it's going to add to their total score. And the winning team would be the one that had the best time for a set of five plays. Really, for us, that became a little bit of conditioning for them. They were going to move fast. But the losing teams, the team that finished first, was able to sit out of a conditioning drill, and we'd run that conditioning drill immediately. It was maybe a gasser or two before then we went into our next period. What we were able to do, really, in the time we had, is that we could get through three sets of five plays in a 10-minute period. So a total of 45 plays in 10 minutes. We're really getting a lot of work done in terms of the repetition. And the competitiveness, though, is what helped us do that and accomplish that. I think the next part of spring and the development is having fun and building that team unity. Football should always be fun. In the spring, without the stress of preparing for an opponent, we always want to find ways to have fun. We want to keep that morale high. We want to find ways to build that team unity. There's not as much at stake in terms of what we have going on in the season, so we want to build here. We institute a competition for that spring. You've heard about these. A lot of teams do it where they divide into smaller teams. They elect their captains. We have a draft for that. I mean, it's been very great. Rob Pomazak at St. Charles North, the runner-up in Illinois in 2018, explains that, and we'll link that in the podcast as well. Competitions are a range of things. So sometimes it's what we said, a lot like the stuff for our individual unit, but as we get into the team things, it could be something fun like a punt, pass, and kick. If you have a jugs machine, and you know you want to have a variety of different players on each team, but having the big guys fielding punts always provides for a lot of fun. You see those on social media. I remember doing one we called the Kentucky Derby, right? One of the big guys gets one of the small guys, and we set up a small little oval track with cones, and these guys piggyback each other around the field for one lap, and we have a lot of fun with that. We always look to, if there's going to be any conditioning, to involve that maybe in relays and to make it fun. And again, we want to total those up. So throughout the spring, whatever we're doing in the competition, there's always that win and lose, and we're going to have a winner at the end of spring. And you know, I've heard people do that in a number of different ways at the end. Maybe the winners get a steak dinner, everybody else eats hot dogs, whatever it might be. I think you try to elevate that and, again, get the competitive side of these guys flowing. So overall, that's what we do and what we try to accomplish in the spring. Again, it's a great time to get things done, to develop your team, to develop the details. And regardless of the limitations, spring is an outstanding time to develop great habits, team chemistry, leadership, and to have fun. I would encourage you to check out our systems. If you are in one of those states that is limited to the amount of contact you have, or you feel it's best right now to be careful with how much contact you have in your program, you cannot find a better place for drills and development than footballdevelopment.com. Check out our advanced tackling system, as well as our contact system, which contains drills that you don't need to have player equipment on for. Again, check that out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our Twitter handle for football coaches at FBDEVcoach. And if you're loving the podcast, head over to iTunes and click a 5-star rate. If you have time, write a review. It helps us out.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.